Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
The person who inspired me as a young footballer trying to become a professional in the game was Thierry Henry. I looked up to him as an idol. Anytime he was on the TV, I'd try and make sure that I was watching and trying to learn and emulate what he did on the pitch.
Ian Wright, Michael Richards, I've seen him on TV and it just brings a smile to my face seeing him on the TV.
Personally for me, you know, I was kind of came under the wing of Linvoi Primus when I was at Portsmouth, who was a centre-back there and someone that, you know, I still speak to on a regular basis now.
In a sporting role, the likes of Pelé, because of what he's managed to do you know, on and off the field. He's always been a figure in life that I've really, really respected.
I'll simply say my uncle, JJ Okocha, because of the stories I've been told when he had to leave Nigeria to go and play in, like, Turkey and playing in Germany was really difficult for him. He ignored all the comments that were said and he was strong and able to focus on what he was really going for, so I'll say him.
Robbie, if it isn't an injury, and he didn't look injured, but if it isn't an injury, your thoughts on substituting a substitute?
Well, generally, it's pretty embarrassing for the player, for sure. I think we all realise that and appreciate that. He was on his side. You know, again, we don't know if there was kind of injury, didn't look like it. He was on his side there. Maybe Thomas Tuchel's telling him stuff. He's that type of coach. And if he's not doing what he's saying, he's going to get frustrated. We know he's that sort of coach. It looks like now he gets a bit fired up. He gets a bit angry. That's all I can say, because there's absolutely other ways you can get Ziyech into that game and still have Hudson-Odoi there. You could brought off Reece James and put Hudson-Odoi as a wing-back, Azpilicueta, you could switch around there. So something he did, and he's close to him there, that upset the manager and brought him back off again.
Do you like that man management or not?
I hate it. I hate it. I understand the points Robbie's making. He's got a chance here of losing Hudson-Odoi mentally and psychologically. If he's not playing well, you give him 45 minutes. And then you know what? Next game, you don't start him and you tell him why he's not playing. But to hook a player that quickly after coming on sends a terrible message, a terrible message. And I think even if he wasn't doing all the right things, you still give him 45 minutes. Because the fact of the matter was, if he wanted Ziyech on to in place of Hudson-Odoi, he just would have put him on at halftime. So he didn't do that.
Now, the only thing I would say, Tim, about this, and sometimes a new manager... Let's figure out who's boss here. And if he wasn't doing what he was told, in this instance, I'm kind of okay with it. I know what you mean, and we've talked before about players. You could potentially lose players. He's a young player. He's come onto the field. He's right by him. And if he's not doing what the manager's saying, it's like, you know, I'm boss here now. I'm the new guy, and it's been nice, and the press conferences, et cetera, have been really good. This was never going to be a plain sailing job for Thomas Tuchel. Never. And it's been really good at this point. And I think if there's a moment where he's got to stamp his authority a little bit with something, I don't mind it.
I just don't think you'd do that to a player, but yeah.
Yeah.
2 points dropped today?
Yeah.
How do you feel?
But it's like this sometimes in football. One shot is enough from the opponent to be behind. And if you're behind, things get more and more difficult. The reaction was very, very good. The game before the goal from Southampton was very, very good. But today we were good in 70 meters or 80 meters, but the last 20 meters we had bad decision making and we lacked the determination and the aggressiveness in the box to make the goals, because the goals were deserved. We controlled the first half completely, but we did not create chances, big chances. That was our problem today, and that was the only problem. And that's why I'm in overall we are very happy with the performance, because we controlled all counterattacks, we controlled ball possession, and we opened up spaces very, very good. We played good counter pressing. But in the end, it's our fault, because we created not enough chances to score more goals.
not creating enough chances.
Yeah.
Is that normal after a great run of wins, like five last games?
No, because we have the quality and we know what to do, and we need to do better. We need to take better decisions, and we need to improve in this. We had now several games where we need a penalty to score, and today we lacked in the last 20 meters the determination, and you need to show the quality in one-on-one. It's this. We did very, very good, but today we lacked the last momentum.
Is that the reason, like, why the sub being subbed today with Hudson-Odoi?
This is this is the only reason that I was not happy with his body language and his attitude in counter-pressing. And that's why I had the feeling he's not ready to give what I wanted from him to the team. And so he suffered from this decision, but this is it. This is the decision. It's hard enough, and from tomorrow it's forgotten.
Wow, I don't know if it's going to be forgotten by Callum Hudson-Odoi tomorrow. His body language was not right, he said, and his attitude in the counter-press, and he didn't think he was right and ready to do what he wanted him to do. He did get a pat on the back of the head as he came off, and there, I think, is the picture and the face that tells the story. He's a few seats along from Tammy Abraham, who he had replaced at half-time, thinking he was going to be given that second half, Robbie, to get back in the game. We've had this discussion. We didn't think it was an injury. We didn't suspect it was an injury. Yeah. You said that you're okay with it because he's showing that he's the boss. When you hear the explanation, are you still okay with it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's on his side. I said he's on his side, so we can instruct him as well. And if he's not doing what he's been told to do by the manager, I expect the manager, he can make that decision. Now, it's going to be a learning lesson for Hudson-Odoi. He looks hurt and upset. And, of course, it's embarrassing to come on and to get pulled off again. But he is the manager, and players are meant to do what he tells them. I kind of like it. It's strong management.
You agree he wasn't doing? I mean, did you notice his body language?
It's tough to see. Well, I didn't notice it, but I'm not right there. And he's really close. He's on the sideline. He's like 10, 20 yards away. So, listen, it's just one of those things. Got to learn a lesson. It's got to get better.
Tim?
I thought that interview showed tremendous arrogance from Tuchel. It won't be forgotten about tomorrow. He's kidding himself. That's gonna linger with the player. Body language, maybe. If he's on the manager's side, then the manager has an obligation to get him going and say, "Hey, I need more from you. If the counter pressing wasn't right, I need more pressing from you." Listen, he gave the final pass. He gave the killer pass for the penalty, which none of the players had done all day. So there was a lot of good in this. I think it's a terrible decision on his part.
Wow, that's so interesting that you both disagree. Mm. Interesting stuff. Okay, no doubt this is not the end of the Callum Hudson-Odoi situation. We'll have more as we get in. Let's take you back to Lee Dixon and to Arlo White. A momentous day. Of course, it almost goes without saying now what it would have been like had the fans been there, especially in the away end for Everton. But still, a momentous day for Carlo Ancelotti's men, Arlo.
Absolutely, and Pep Guardiola said similar, didn't he, after Manchester City broke their long winless run here. Look, it's a different prospect when there are fans in the ground. But let's not take anything away from Everton. That was a Herculean defensive effort, wasn't it, Lee?
Yeah, and not just from the back four. I think the team was set up brilliantly by Ancelotti, the way that he had Coleman just dropping into a five and then playing in midfield. The way he used Hammers in that free role and obviously set the goal up with that, I think he got it spot on. He said to him, look, we'll just get everybody behind the ball. We'll have two banks of four and we'll just try and just frustrate Liverpool. That's exactly what they did. Liverpool couldn't get behind them from the wide areas. They really struggled, so they went very narrow and it didn't work. And they got that goal early on, which gave them something to hang on to and also just sit back and say, right, we're going to use this game plan. What have you got, Liverpool? And Liverpool didn't have anything, really.
Well, we'll wait and see the severity of Jordan Henderson's injury, but today, Phillips and Kabak, the 17th different centre-back partnership, it's affected their season. Who do you think out of these two sides will finish higher in the table?
At the moment, I think Liverpool will come again. I think they'll regroup. But you have to say, with Everton's form, what they do is kind of they dip in and out. They had a brilliant start and they fell off and they got better. They fell off, they got better. So they need a little bit more continuity, a bit more results on the trot and just keep churning them out. But it's going to be tight, I tell you.
OK. To the Emirates for us too, Rebecca. Tomorrow we'll talk to you then.
Arlo, thank you. Lee, thank you. We will speak to you tomorrow. Tim Howard, this Everton team, we said at the beginning of the season when they started so well in the campaign and were top of the league under Carlo Ancelotti that it was a different type of Everton. As Lee said, they've had their dips. Yeah. But that today, does that show you that this team and this club feels different this season than maybe since you played for them?
Well, Lee's right. They have been a bit up and down, and they've had these gaps in terms of they've played well at times and then they've had these lulls. Yes, the potential of this team, we saw it today and we saw it early on in the season. Their job now as a club is to continue that and to be. It's what Liverpool do week in and week out. They're just absolutely brilliant. Okay, not of late, but that's what Everton are looking to achieve is can they keep this standard as they played today? Do that the rest of the season.
This is a test now for Liverpool. And also, how much of a test is it for Jurgen Klopp?
It's a massive test because we knew about the centre-back problems. It just got worse today with Henderson going down. And they've conceded 9 goals in the last 3 games in the Premier League. Centre-back is screaming emergency. And Kabak is new, and maybe we'll see Ben Davies. I think we will see Ben Davies because anytime Everton asked questions today, they scored or created the penalty. Mm. Anytime. Because Liverpool had so much possession, Everton were defending incredibly well. But when they went forward, when I saw Dominic Calvert-Lewin come on, I'm thinking, wow, him and Richarlison up front, likely to get the next goal, and that's what happened. So big, big problems. Apart from the attacking side of it, which wasn't great, the centre-back is gonna mean they're going to concede a lot more goals than you'd ever expect from Liverpool.
So the centre-half situation, after seeing Ozan Kabak again today, Nat Phillips came on, there's Ben Davies as well. Who do you think will be the first two on the team sheet?
Well, I think Ben Davies has to get a run out and possibly Phillips. I mean, it got worse because Henderson went off with an injury, but also Kabak looked like a deer in headlights, and this level looks too high for him at the moment.
Carlo, congratulations. What does it mean to you to be the first Everton manager to win here this century?
I don't know. No, I'm really pleased, really happy for the club, for the supporter. Of course, I couldn't imagine if our supporter were there tonight, but I hope for sure they are going to celebrate tonight. It was a good performance, a lot of effort, a lot of spirit. Really happy.
You said to us before the game it would be the same system, but it looked like you tweaked the formation.
We played with two strikers, James and Richarlison. We played with Coleman to fix a little bit the position of Robertson, 3 midfielders and 4 at the back to control Mané, Salah, Firmino.
What was behind the decision to go long straight away from the kickoff?
Because we have this kind of quality. We wanted to avoid the pressure from Liverpool. We know that they press a lot in front. But sometimes we had the possibility to play. We had a good combination.
Also, was it for the first goal, 2 moments of real quality from James Rodriguez and the finish from Richarlison?
Yeah, of course. Richarlison is back. He's back because now he's scoring and he's playing with a lot of consistency. James is always the same. Maybe he doesn't have the physicality of the other, but he has better quality.
What does this give you today, perhaps psychologically, more than the 3 points?
As I said, we did really well away. At home, we had a lot of problems. We lost a lot of games. We have to find more consistency at home, and we are working on this.
Jürgen, obviously not a good day for you. What's your analysis of proceedings?
The first goal, which we have to defend better, gave the game a direction which was unnecessary. So, OK, but it happened. I thought then, even if I don't like to speak about the good football moments tonight, there were plenty of, creating-wise, plenty of good football moments. So we did well from a creating point of view, stayed calm, but had to chase the game. And that we have to chase the game, I think you saw in the finishing situations. So we were not calm enough in these moments where we should have been calmer. That's the truth, when we could have been calmer. So, like, finish the situation after how we brought ourselves in positions where... So, haven't defended deep and full of passion and all these kind of things, man marking, all these kind of things. But there were still moments where we were completely free in the box. But we didn't finish it off. So that's then the one thing where we have to get the criticism for. That's fine. Second half, we changed formation a little bit because now we wanted to, to cause them more problems. What we did immediately, big chances in the box. Sadio twice with the head. Bobby, I think, twice in a promising position to shoot. More super football, being alone in front of Pickford. Yes, close, but being there. All these moments. And that's it. That they had, I think, only in the end, really, kind of counter-attacking chances, that is clear. Then they got a penalty, but the penalty was late and was not really decisive anymore. If penalty's not in, then we lose 1-0 tonight. That's how it is. Even when it's, of course, a blow when you get a 2-0, like 10, 7, 8, 9 minutes to go, it's clear. But we don't have to talk about that too much.
You spoke to your players again on the pitch at half-time. What were you saying? What were you looking for more of in the second half?
No. What I wanted to see on the pitch, we spoke about in the half-time. So that's why I said we changed formation. So we both Charlie offensively, more in the centre, which worked really well. These kind of things, we just wanted to cause them different problems, and we did that. But in the end, whatever we could talk about now, probably an hour, if you want to go in detail about this and this and this situation, and then we would realize that 90% what we're talking about is positive, but 10% not, and we have to change the 10%. So, and that makes a difference result-wise.
Of course, you also lost Jordan Henderson. What's the initial diagnosis?
Groin, adductor, region. So that's not good, to be honest. But we don't know exactly. It's just the region is growing, adductor there in that area, and the rest we will know tomorrow.
It's just quite extraordinary, the bad luck you're having in the centre-back position at the moment. Yeah. Can you believe it?
No. But it's how it is.
What next from here, Jürgen? Obviously, it's another defeat. It's just all you can do is work to try and change things, to turn things around. You saw lots of things that you liked.
Yeah.
It's just that bit that's missing to get the results.
Delete the word just, maybe. So because it's decisive, what we lack, obviously. Apart from that, so how I said, we stand here, we lost 2-0 to Derby, so I know how important the game is. We all know how important it is. We feel it deep inside. But from tomorrow on, I have to use all the good stuff as well. That's how it is. And there was a lot of good stuff. So these good situations, the creating-wise, they are the guarantee that we can change it. As long as we keep that, we will change it. But the decisive moments, we have to change as well. So, and that's what is our job as well. So we will keep going.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
West Ham United fans watching us across the United States, I'm not sure they've had too many better Sunday mornings than that. This is a group of fans that have seen relegation on a number of occasions. They've seen mid-table football. Mm-hmm. They've seen anger at the owners. They're sitting, Danny, in a Champions League spot, more than deserved. That's where they'll finish the weekend. What kind of story are we seeing here?
It's incredible, and they're there on merit. They're not there on luck. Not at this stage of the season. They've been absolutely incredible. David Moyes deserves so much credit because he had the job initially, then went, and then I think there was a few people who weren't happy about him coming back, but he's brought youth to the squad, he's brought enthusiasm, he's brought desire, determination, he's brought players into the club that want to play for the badge. We saw it late on in the game. We talk about Tottenham having a few chances, but what I would say is that West Ham defended so well, as though everything depended on it. And that has been built from the dressing room, from the togetherness, the collective. And David Moyes is at the top of that, and he deserves an unbelievable amount of credit.
From Tottenham's point of view, has Gareth Bale played his way into the starting 11 for next game after that performance?
You would hope so. He did more in 45 minutes than a lot of players did in 90 minutes. He's a player that when he gets the ball, he makes things happen. His first look is forward, and he has the ability that very few players have of finding space where there shouldn't be any space. So he has to start next game.
I know you want to take everything game by game, not look too much at the table, but you do move into the top four with that win, and there's a smile on your face now. What's the reaction from your team?
Yeah, good. But, you know, I've told them we're only done half a job. I think, you know, if we continue this way, we'll be close. So I don't want to be negative in any way. It's a great result for us to beat Spurs, you know, with the ambitions that they've got and what they have at their disposal. So, no, we're enjoying it, but we're also not going to go daft. We'd be stupid to say anything, and we're going to keep calm about it, but hopefully keep pushing and pressurising the teams near the top.
Jose, how are you feeling after that?
I feel sad, obviously. I feel that the result should be a different one from what we played, especially in the second half. So that's my feeling, and a little bit of deja vu, because the defensive line was brilliant. The centre backs they clean everything, and they gave us a very difficult match for such a dominancy, especially in the second half. And we start the game with a defensive mistake, and we start the second half with another one. And when you are punished by these goals, then is difficult. But the team, especially in the second half, was trying absolutely everything and had the chances. And was not also lucky with hitting the post twice, but we had great crossing situations across the face of the goal. We had easy shooting positions to score with dead balls in the box or just outside the box. So we should score more goals in spite of the two goals that we conceded.
To concede the two goals, defensive errors, how concerning is that area for you defensively?
Look, I've been speaking about this for such a long time, and it's not good to stay always on the same page. But I believe that every person that watched the game understood clearly the nature of the goals that we conceded, and then it's difficult against a team that fought in the second half. They didn't play; they fought. And this is not a critic, this is to praise their spirit. They fought hard, but they just fought. And we were the team that tried to play, create a lot of chances, and then the boys were not lucky, because the result, I don't think we deserve that.
Raheem, well played. You won it on the back, really, of an electrifying start. What was the key to that start?
I think we moved the ball well. Riyad was really aggressive in the first 5 minutes. We kept the pressure on, and we got the goal early on. They're a good team. You can see how they've been on the Mikel. They play some good football, and you can see that we struggled at times with that, but we kept our composure and grinded the result out.
You got a goal in the second minute. You could actually have scored before that, and just after. Could have been a hat-trick in 5 minutes, couldn't it?
I could have scored before that.
There was a little chance before that, a little swing of the boot before that?
Oh, yeah. Miska. But the one I should have tucked away was the one when Kevin played me through. I sat the guy down and, hesitated a little bit, but I'm happy to get the win. Then.
Gary Neville was very complimentary about the leap for your goal. Some effort that, to get up above two centre-halves. Was that the key to it, the early leap?
I'm 5'7½", and, you know, got up really well there. I'm really happy. Every time I score a headed goal, it's a... extra buzz, but yeah, I'm happy with that one.
You're on a little run of headers, aren't you? You're on a run of headers. There was one in Liverpool, and this one was a bit further out.
Yeah, this one's a bit more, a bit better, a little better of a leap, and got really well, and just happy to score.
Why did it get harder as it went on? That's how it seemed, Raheem. And you talked in your first answer that Arteta's team gave you certain issues.
Yeah, as you can tell, like, Mikel's worked with us for plenty of years. He knows exactly our strengths and our weaknesses, and I wouldn't be surprised if he, you know, spent a lot of time in trying to find gaps in our team, and he made it real difficult for us.
Are you getting better as a team, maybe with that centre-half partnership that you've got, at digging out results and staying ahead when maybe matches do get harder?
Yeah, the two centre-half pairings, they've been great this season. You know, they have a real great understanding. And even when Aimé's in there as well, you can see that there's a real unity, a bond in there. And, you know, they're trying to keep this... it's like anything. If I'm scoring goals, I try to keep on a run, and they're trying to keep clean sheets, so it's a credit to them.
So it's 18 wins on the spin now. How does this compare to previous seasons and other brilliant runs you've been on, would you say?
Yeah, I think it's even better now because, you know, we had a difficult start to the season. You know, it was a difficult one, you know, something that we're not used to. We weren't scoring as much goals as we're used to. But, you know, it's a credit to the team. We started to dig results out, and I think that's what brings, you know, tight winning teams. You have to dig results out when it really matters.
And do you still feel like there's a lot of hard work to do?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I think any team that you go to now, you can lose a game because, you know, football is going in either way. Anyone's not dominating at the minute. So we just got to keep our focus and on to the next one.
Well played.
Well, just the one goal was all Manchester City needed today. We've seen them a little bit more free-flowing, possibly more goals in recent weeks, but they still just looked incredibly comfortable.
They are in cruise control. And when you look at what's going on in the world with the pandemic at the moment, Guardiola has adjusted unbelievably well. His players, I don't believe, got out of second gear then. Mm. They didn't need to get out. And when I look at Liverpool, who unbelievable champions last season, we know the way that they play. It's in your face consistently, constant. And it's no coincidence that there have been injuries with Liverpool. But when you look at Manchester City, they know when to take the foot off the gas. They win 1-0 today. They were never in any danger.
Well, so you're saying that the injuries that Liverpool are suffering are possibly because Klopp doesn't know when to take them off the gas?
Not all of them, but there are some of them that are, where players are obviously continuing to play, and eventually it's going to catch up with you. There's no doubt about it. And I think with Manchester City, and this is what I'm talking about, adapting. Manchester City and Guardiola, he's adapted to this situation to the point where, yes, it was a 90-minute game, but the players that played for Manchester City then probably felt like a 30-minute game.
They're not chasing the title, they're managing the title. And that's what they're doing right now.
Yeah. Tim, at the end there was a shot of David Luiz coming off the field, talking to some of the Manchester City teammates. You wanted to just share what your thoughts. While you were watching this live, what were you thinking?
Well, he just annoys me. I'd hate to be his teammate. I've rowed with teammates before. You've just lost a game. He's laughing and joking and palling around. That's not okay. It's not okay for me. Get yourself in the dressing room. If he's really your mate, you call him after the game, or maybe in a normal world, you go have a beer with him. But this, the supporters will see this. People will watch this on television. He's reckless in the challenge. He gets himself sent off. He's not a responsible teammate. And this for me, just, if I was his teammate and he was in the dressing room, the first thing you do when the whistle blows, you get yourself in the dressing room and you listen to your manager because you lost. And that just shows me he doesn't really care. I'm sorry.
Well, Mikel, an Arsenal performance that improved as it went on, but in the end, did the torrid start to the game cost you?
Absolutely. The way we conceded the first goal obviously put you in a really difficult situation after 1 or 2 minutes in the game. To concede against them, it's tough because it puts the game exactly where they want it, and even more with the formation and the play that they use with a false nine where they are really comfortable. They want to drag you out to start to jump on them and create the spaces. And when we are 1-0 down, you have to start to do that. But I think after the team reacted really, really well. We were on top of the game. We started to generate chances, to start generate momentum in the opponent half. But we lacked the quality there when we got in those situations to score a goal.
That slow start, do you put that down to you getting off to a slow start, or is that City being excellent?
We got something wrong. We talked about something and we didn't do it in the first 5 or 10 minutes, and then they used that overload in one of the sides. And still, it's a cross from Mare, you know where it's coming, and Sterling kind of head that ball in the middle of the goal.
A player of that size shouldn't be getting up and scoring ahead of
It's clever, really good execution from him, but if you want to win against them, you cannot concede a goal.
You said we got something wrong. Can you tell us what that something was?
It was a tactical thing that we prepared, and we weren't able to read it in the game, and that caused you, because then you are disorganized every time you want to be aggressive in your high press.
Why did you grow into the match? What changed? What got you into it?
Because the moment we clicked it and we knew and we did what we started to... And we prepared. They find it difficult to beat that. And then we got momentum, we got confident because things were going. I think we were really good on the ball as well against their pressing, and we could find really good spaces. But when we were there at the end, around the box, in the final third, we lacked just picking the right pass to score the goal.
Well, Pep, it was a match that perhaps got harder as it went on. But firstly, what did you make of the way your team began the game?
It was harder like we expect would be. So we won 1-0 at home. We suffered a lot. They make a man-to-man our build-up. It's not easy. Our long balls are okay, not the strongest teams to keep that balls. And after they follow in the middle, they equalize in the middle with four or five players. So it's difficult to play against Arsenal. Mikel is so difficult. But that's why I give incredible credit for this victory. So at the end, it's Arsenal away. It's Emirates. So we get what to expect. They're going to come here and win, and win it. We need in that moment to win this type of game. The people think 30 games in a row, 18 victories in a row, and looks easy. This is so difficult. Look in Europe, in Spain, in Germany, in Italy, all the teams draw points, and this consistency in the last month is, honestly, I didn't expect, because I'm really surprised, more than grateful for these players, what they are doing. But winning that period, these games 1-0, that is what we need to realize, and everything is so difficult.
How pleased were you with the dominance in the early part of the match?
Maybe yeah, was the last 10, 15 minutes was brilliant. It was wow, how good we are playing. Every action was simple. Every action was we didn't push the action. We didn't anticipate the action. The action came along through the passes, through the movements in the right tempo. But after that, the last 20, 25, maybe 30 minutes, they were better than us in the first half. In the halftime, we adjust our pressing with Leno, and we won a lot of balls in that tempo. In the first half, we could not, especially left side. We Saka, Tierney, and Aubameyang create the 3-2 in this area, and we could not control it. The second half was better. And we don't create chances, but enough to win the game.
You spoke about it before the game. Is that a case of Mikel Arteta knowing you well?
No. Mikel knows everything. He's knowing me. He's so good. I'm. It's not because he's my friend or because today I beat him. I know him where we live. I know what he planned. I know what he works. He's so clever. So he's already one of the... I learned a lot watching his teams, and today I learned something. I can use it in the future. So it's not because we were together and know me. He knows everything about football.
Daniel, that was a big 3 points tonight. Very important points as well.
Yeah, very important. I think after Thursday, we just wanted to capitalise on that. And I thought we did well today. We had a little bump after it went all, but we come out second half and regroup really and use the spaces down the side, and that's where we got the goals.
Yeah, it's been a good week for you personally. A goal against Real Sociedad, another one tonight.
Yeah, you know what I mean? People say that I haven't played so much recently, but just been working as hard as I can, doing everything I can when I do play. And yeah, it was nice to get minutes Thursday and again today, yeah, so I've just got to just keep working on that.
Yeah, people do say that because you've made such a flying start and then there was a dip, but now you've got 6 goals in 9 United and Wales games. I mean, that's a good turnaround. You're back on the up.
Yeah, I say it's a turnaround. But yeah, I think There was a moment last season, maybe it wasn't performing as well as I wanted to. I think this season I'm just reflecting on that as much as I can, doing everything I can to reflect on my games. I've just been working on the training ground as hard as I can.
That's it, just working on training ground. There's nothing they've told you to do. I mean, your confidence is back, we can see that, and the pace is there always.
Yeah, I think I kind of lost my way a bit. Wasn't playing the same as I did the start of last season, so that's where I had to look at analysis, stuff like that. And do you know what I mean? A lot of people, the right people around me to talk me through that. As I said, been working with the coach on the training ground to try and get me back to myself, and I like to think I've got there.
In the first half, the team had to sort of shake off a bit of that Turin rust, I think. It took a while for United to find a rhythm.
Yeah, I'd say we had a little rusty start. We obviously got the goal and then conceded a goal that, you know, I mean, it's disappointing for us, but as I said, we regrouped half time. We knew where the spaces were, and that's where I got my goal today. Do you know what I mean? We worked from one side, worked to the other, and got that goal.
And you couldn't afford to throw away any more points. You know, too many draws lately, giving ground to others.
Yeah, I think, do you know what I mean? 2-1 was still a risky game, and the game got a little bit up and down. And Marcus obviously won that pen, and Bruno kind of secured the win for us. But from then on, we just had to keep the ball and, do you know what I mean, play into our hands.
Well, at half-time, Tim, I remember you said you wanted to see more from Manchester United's second half. What did you like particularly about how they changed things?
Well, they have the superior players in terms of quality, and there just was more movement, there was more fluidity in the front. And you see even Daniel James' goal there, the reason it comes is because your player's running over the ball. It falls to him. He's open by himself in the box. The penalty happens because Rashford's in coming onto the ball into the box. He makes the Newcastle defender have to shift and I like their movement. It was better. Obviously, the quality is fantastic. Individually, it was good. Together, they were moving the ball quicker, and they obviously paid dividends.
And Danny, that's been a pattern all season. The quality in the end often comes through for Manchester United. But the beginning, whether it's the first stages or the entire first half, they just don't get going quickly.
No, they don't. And when you look at the centre-back partnership, Lindelof and Maguire, both very good centre-backs. That's not the question. But the one thing I've said before is that they're both the same. So when United dominate possession, they have to play a high line. And when you have to play a high line, ideally you want a centre-back that's got pace and the one that wants to attack the ball. And that's where Bailly comes into it, in my opinion. And that's where sometimes he can get caught out on the counter-attacking in behind.
So would you take out Lindelof and play Bailly alongside Maguire, no matter what?
I've said for a long time now, if Bailly remains fit, he has to be Maguire's partnership.
OK. From Newcastle's perspective, you get the sense he'll take some positives out of this one, but that could buy into what Danny was saying about sleepwalking into a relegation fight here.
Both are correct. He will. He has to take the positive out. He has a team that is sleepwalking. He's got to figure out a way to motivate them. Look, Saint-Maximin was lively today. He was their best player. We expected him to be. He got the goal. Absolutely. What they need to do now is what they did to Man United. They pressed him out of the diamond. It worked. Every game from now on, they can't sit back and just get picked apart and hope they win games. They need to go for it like they did today. High press, out of the diamond. It worked. It worked against Manchester United. For a little bit, it'll work against Leicester team.
My concern, Tim, is if I look at Fulham and I look at Newcastle, because it looks as though it's going to be between those two. Fulham started the season really open, really expansive. Now they've become a little bit more pragmatic, conserving energy. Newcastle doing it the other way around. Newcastle waited to concede first early on in the season. Now Graham Jones has come and he's changed the system. It looks to be working for them in terms of them having the higher press. They're tiring late on in games because of now what's being asked of them. And that is a concern as the season goes on.
Newcastle stay up?
I'm going to go with Fulham.
Newcastle
Fulham
stay up?
Fulham for me.
Wow. Yeah. OK, interesting stuff.
Ollie, congratulations. 3 points. You had to step it up in the second half, didn't you?
Yeah, we had to up the tempo a little bit, and especially in the last third. And I felt we managed to do that. It's always difficult after a away game in Europe and to get going. We've had enough games this season. So it took until half-time, really. Even though we dominated possession and we had all the ball, we still couldn't create too many big opportunities.
A lot of balls going astray, and you knew they were going to press you early on.
Yeah, we knew that. But it was about moving the ball quicker, be a bit cleverer in our positioning. And I felt second half we found our positions better and some good goals.
Good goals, yes. Well, let's talk about Daniel James, because we mentioned him pre-match.
Yeah.
And he started off at United like a train.
Yeah.
And he's disappeared for a while, but now he seems that he's back and he seems a lot more confident in himself.
Never disappeared. He's been working hard behind the scenes. He's always been available. He's always a player that you can use in a few different positions with his energy and pace, and he's learning the game, so I'm very happy for him.
But in terms of, I'm not saying disappeared, you know what exactly
yeah, I know what
he
you
disappeared
mean.
From the starting lineup, and he's been talking about he lost himself in some respects. Now he's gone back and he's studied, he's analysed, and he's getting the support from the coaching staff now.
Yeah, we work with him. We try to help everyone, but of course Dan came from the Championship up to Man United. You hit a few goals in the first games. It's bound to take some energy away from you, all that high headlines and media attention. But he's knuckled down and it's really worked to get him back to full fitness and maybe more so confidence to believe in himself. And that's the main thing. As soon as you've come away or come past that little doubt, now he knows he's a good player.
That does it for this edition of the Premier League on NBC podcast. Be sure to check out other episodes where you'll get a collection of our most spirited in-studio debates, as well as exclusive on-site access. Plus, don't miss out on Premier League mornings, weekends at 7 a.m. Eastern on NBCSN and Peacock Premium. Bye for now.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.